When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Brandon Ayuk has officially requested a trade for the 49ers. Why? I think that actually puts a lot more pressure on Brock Purdy in 2024. Plus, Davante Adams has entered the chat. All right, off to a good start. I don't know what happened with the intro there, but apparently it's functioning like the 49ers are functioning right now. I'm Rob Stats Guerrera. That's Grant Cohn. This is the Gold Standard Podcast. We call it Stats and Cohn on the Gold Standard Podcast Network, the Fans First Sports Network. Let's just dive right into it. Nothing seems to be functioning properly. StreamYard, way to go. Really, really kicking ass this week, StreamYard. Not the first time you've let me down. How are you, Grant?
I'm great. I thought that cold open was fantastic. I know you're beating yourself up, but I haven't incorporated a cold open into my streams yet, and I think I'm going to now because that was just so clean. It was wonderful. It piqued my interest.
You know, I tried to be anyway. You know, you just ruined a good cold open. Nonetheless, let's get into it. Shout out to Nisha, all our supporters here in the chat. We appreciate you very much. Brandon Ayuk requesting a trade from the 49ers. I have multiple thoughts on this, Grant. First of all, where were you guys? Where were you? Where was Barrows? Where was Mayoko? Mike Garofalo's breaking the story from a golf course. And yet, when we find out that Ricky Pearsall is on the non-football injury list, 2 seconds later, Mayoko or Barrows or somebody's like, oh, it's not serious. Don't worry about it. But yet, Brandon Ayuk requesting a trade, crickets from the 49ers beat.
Wow, I feel attacked. I feel attacked. You know, I think you've been around the industry long enough to understand there's a reason why the local beat writers never break these stories, ever. And it's because the agent is giving it to the national person in exchange for something down the line. That Mike Garofalo has all kind of information. He's valuable to the agent. That relationship is valuable back and forth. Matt Mayoko, Matt Barrows, me, I have nothing to offer the agent for Brandon Ayuk. So that's why that has been that way for 15 years. And I mean, who's the last local person that actually broke news about the Niners? Ira Miller? You don't even know who that was. You don't even know Ira Miller.
I don't actually know him.
No, it's a different era now. But anyway,
NFL
requested a trade.
All the stories. That's,
what's that?
That's what we're going with. NFL Network gets fed all the stories because Mike Silver.
Am I wrong? I mean, they break all the Niners news, NFL Network.
They do break a lot of Niners news now. In fact, I can't think of the last breaking news story a 49ers beat writer has broken.
Now, Mike Silver tried, got it wrong. Get some things right, get some things wrong. Kind of, that's a tough game to play. But I mean, really, the big news is almost always broken by the NFL Network with the Niners. I think that's by design, that's a design to play.
The national insiders, do break a lot of news. My reaction to this has been, it doesn't matter because the Niners gave him permission to seek a trade before the draft. Who cares if he requested a trade? They told him, go find a trade, and they couldn't find one. So I don't think that he is going to go anywhere. I really don't. Do you think he's going to go anywhere?
Also, like, this is the official request. How do we know he didn't unofficially request a trade 3 months ago? Hey, guys. I'm privately, unofficially requesting a trade. And they're like, all right, privately, unofficially, go find one. Do it. I mean, and then now it just makes it public. So it's funny, like 3 months ago, there was a tweet from a guy, I forget his name, John Frischella or something. And he was like, hey, Ayuk just requested a trade. And then Ayuk's agent went on Twitter to dunk on him, like, oh, you need better sources. Like, well, thanks, dude.
Well, and remember, when John Lynch was asked about it, he cut off the question.
I'm not going to get in all those details. Being part of us, he's under contract, and we're looking forward to that.
Sorry I did that.
He wouldn't even let Mayoko get the question out, right? Wouldn't even let him finish asking the question. Did you let Ayuk side? I'm not going to get into all that. You know what that means? Yep, we did. So we knew that. So I don't think that the offer is there for Brandon Ayuk. What I think is going to happen is that he's going to play this season on the fifth-year option. Debo is going to play knowing that he's essentially in a contract year. He's already admitted that. And like Mike Silver tweeted out, it's going to be Hunger Games in terms of the 49ers wide receivers for targets, which means, in my opinion, that puts a ton more pressure on Brock Purdy, because Brock Purdy is going to have to be the referee. He's going to have to keep them in line. If Debo's complaining about targets, if Brandon Ayuk's complaining about targets in an offense that throws the ball less than anybody else in the league, Brock's going to have to say in the huddle, I don't care about your targets. Shut the hell up. This is what we're doing. Here's the play. Everybody get in line. I think he's empowered to do that this year. I think he's in a better position to do that since he's ever been with the Niners. But I do think he's going to have to do that. That's the position that the team and Ayuk have put him in.
And it's an awful position, because that's not really Brock Purdy's job. I mean, the coach's job is to create a culture where players want to prioritize the team over themselves. Is that like fair? It's basic, right? It's football, but it's not always easy to accomplish. And now the Niners are almost incentivizing the exact opposite. Like, hey, Brandon, Debo, you guys are going to be competing for targets and money and all that stuff. So if they win the game and Brandon gets two catches, is he happy? And vice versa. I mean, really, you're creating a situation where you're going to get a lot of complaining, even during wins, and that's not what you want.
Well, and that's the scary situation that the 49ers are in. They may complain, but if they win, they may be able to keep it together. But if they don't win, this thing could go downhill and spiral very, very quickly for the 49ers.
The way I look at it is, like, last year they had the culture and the team. They had the best team in the league on paper, and everyone was bought in, not complaining. I mean, Brandon Ayuk, Kittle would have one or two catches. It was, that's just okay. We're going to win the Super Bowl this year with the best team on paper. It didn't happen. And now it feels like there's a lot of bitterness, resentment, borderline depression, lack of motivation. Like, man, we had it all last year. We missed our opportunity. And now it's like, man, now this is business. Now this is all about business. I mean, maybe the Niners will move past this at some point, but like, the vibes, or whatever you want to call it, the culture around the team right now is really not good.
Shout out to Dave Barclay, YouTube channel member. Thanks for the super chat. What's up, guys? Patriot Builders of Montana, listening to you on the loudspeaker in Wise River today. Let's go. Shout out.
Loudspeaker.
Patriot Builders of Montana. Love that.
Shout out, Patriot Builders of Montana.
I'm sure that's going to be their new jingle.
Hell yeah.
But you're right. The Shanahan era has been characterized by everybody pulling in the same direction. Right? We get our receivers to block. We, even when they were losing in his first year, remember when they beat the Giants for their first win after like 10 straight losses? Excuse me. They were celebrating like they won the Super Bowl. And it was because Shanahan had that locker room inspired and together. That is a very difficult thing to do. It's a difficult thing to do for a prolonged period of time. And it's a really difficult thing to do now when you've had this group together for a while and the business of sports takes over. And that is a challenge that I feel like Kyle hasn't really had to navigate yet. And he's going to have to do it this season, it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not getting into all the blame game and stuff with Kyle. But like, I think we heard Chavarius Ward say it the other day, like, we had the best team. I mean, we didn't win, but we had the best team on paper. And we didn't get it done. So that's how they felt. That's how they still feel. And like, if that's the case, it's hard to wrap your mind around why you didn't win. And beyond that, forget looking back, looking forward. It's hard to sell yourself that you're going to win in the future when you had everything going your way and you couldn't get it done and you still don't understand why. Like, how confident can you really be?
Past performance is no indication of future success.
Yeah, tell that to them. Tell them that.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
Brother Bob says, Grant, can you imagine Devontae Adams with Kyle Levy? We're going to get to that in a second, because all of a sudden, like, how many times have we sat there, Grant, and said, this freaking team is never boring, man. It's unreal. Like, they don't know how to have a boring. This was supposed to be the boring offseason. It was close to one, man.
I got to say, it was kind of boring. It was like just Brandon Ayuk drama, and all we had was little TikTok videos every once in a while. I miss a good old-fashioned quarterback controversy.
I don't. No, thank you. I do not want to go back to those days. I am not about that.
Bring them back.
There was a
In
couple
fact, of- we're going to go quarterback controversy at the end of this show just because I need it. Let's go.
Are we really?
Oh. It's business, but not business controversy.
Oh, okay. Yes, yes. We are going to get to that. There was a tweet from Mike Silver that I want to get to, which I'm just stalling so I can bring it up on the screen.
Cooper DeJean?
Cooper DeJean?
Never mind.
All right.
Never mind. That's a deep cut reference. Never mind. Okay.
Sorry. I'm not hip. Never what can mind. I tell you? Here's a tweet from Mike Silver. If you're wondering whether another team would pay Ayuk what he's asking for, there's at least one that would. A front office source for a potential trade partner confirmed that to me earlier today. My question.
Cool, let's make the trade happen then. Let's make this happen.
Where were they 4 months ago before the draft?
But the question is, like, okay, if a team is willing to pay him $30 million plus per season, whatever, are they also willing to trade the Niners a first-round pick? Because it seems like if he's worth that much to you financially, then he should. Any player who's worth $30 million a year is also worth a first-round pick, right?
Agreed.
So you can't have it both ways. You can't. Unless you want to trade a player. And then that gets interesting.
Well, and then, okay, so let's get into it. I did not even know this was a thing, but apparently it is a thing. Devontae Adams is apparently a possibility for the 49ers. I had heard rumors of him possibly getting traded to the Jets. I think ESPN, Dan Orlovsky calls it a done deal. WFAN in New York basically said the Jets are going to trade for Devontae Adams, which would have given Aaron Rodgers, Garrett Wilson, and Devontae Adams. And then it's like, oh, damn, let's go. But apparently that's not the only thing. Because Pretty Ricky on X, who... Let me just say, Pretty Ricky has been crushing it in the offseason. A lot, not everything. Nobody bats 1,000, but a lot of what he has tweeted has come to pass. So I'm just going to read this, and then we'll get to some of the super chats. I see him there. Don't worry, we'll get to him. Pretty Ricky says, rumor, the Raiders are a team interested in trading for Brandon Ayuk. Ayuk knows Antonio Pierce from Arizona State. Here's the fun part. The Raiders would send Devontae Adams to the Niners in any trade. Devontae has no real money on his deal after this season.
Boom.
What?
Boom. So what? Let's just go through it step by step and talk about why. We can talk about why it doesn't make sense, but let's talk about first why it does make sense. First of all, Antonio Pierce connection. Didn't know that, but he was a coach at ASU when Ayuk was there. Two, if you're going to trade Ayuk for a player, why not a player who plays the same position and is just as good, if not better? Now, of course, he's 5.5 years older than Brandon Ayuk. That's a lot. But right now, the Niners are sort of resigned themselves to maybe going year to year with Ayuk anyway and him not being on the team next year or the year after that. So if you're looking at that type of a proposition with Ayuk, I mean, you could have Devontae for $16 million this year, and then you could potentially cut him next year and get out of the contract entirely, or you could restructure the contract and keep him around a few more years. I mean, it's an intriguing option.
It's not going to do anything to quiet the Brock Purdy haters, right? Now you've got Christian McCaffrey, Debo, Kittle, and Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
Can we get any more all pros to throw in the top of this offense? I don't know why the 49ers would do it unless they thought, like, there's no redeeming the situation. There's no way Brandon Ayuk will ever, unless they thought it was just so far gone that there was never a way to recover. If you're the 49ers, why wouldn't you just keep Ayuk? He's younger, he's cheaper.
Right. But
maybe they look at it that way. I don't know.
Let's play out that scenario. Like, obviously the Niners want to extend him, but if that's not an option, if they just can't work that out, and the Niners like, okay, cool, fine, then you'll play in the fifth year option, and then we can tag you, and you, like, we'll play hardball too. Is that what you want to do? Like a disgruntled Brandon Ayuk who doesn't care if you win or lose, but is only out for his own targets and is like bringing the morale of the team down? And winning in spite of that, like, you might be able to, you probably could. Or would you rather have Devontae Adams, who's dying to play for the 49ers from East Palo Alto, grateful to get the hell out of Las Vegas. And everyone on the team respects him. It's not like Brandon, who's the little brother at the children's table, like trying to fight for respect. It's freaking Davante Adams. Deebo, Kittle, McCaffrey all would understand if he gets 140 targets next year. So something to think about.
There's another aspect to bringing in Davante Adams, which I don't know how much it counts, but I think it's worth at least mentioning. How many times have we sat here and talked about how hard it's going to be for the 49ers to climb that mountain? Can they really do it again? Can they get back? If this trade happens, you get rid of Brandon Ayuk, who's got some scars. You bring in Davante Adams, who is not part of that. He doesn't have those scars. He still has the hunger to get back to where the 49ers want to be. That's not nothing, right? It's not. He doesn't have a Super Bowl hangover. He wasn't in a damn Super Bowl. He doesn't have a Super Bowl ring. He doesn't have a Super Bowl. Like, he doesn't have it. So is that a huge factor? No, it's not like you have to do that deal because of it, but it's not nothing.
I feel like it energizes the team. It's now it's a new team. It's not the team that lost in the Super Bowl last year. And it's not right now. Brandon Ayuk's grievance is hanging over the whole season. Like when they show up to training camp, all the stories are going to be about him. Is he there? Is he happy? What did he say? What did he think? What did he eat for breakfast? Like, all of this stuff is more important than the team. And that's why Trey Lance isn't on the team anymore, because he became bigger than the team at no fault of his own. Brandon Ayuk is making himself bigger than the team. So you could live with that and try to make it. You know, it's not ideal. You could try to make it work, or you could flip him for Davante Adams. I mean, that's intriguing. Like, again, I would say that Davante Adams probably is still better than Brandon Ayuk right now.
I would agree.
So the team gets better in the trade now. And you were already thinking about trading Ayuk next year, tagging and trading him next year. Like, if he's only on his last year here, why not flip him for someone who's just playing better and give yourself a better chance of winning the Super Bowl from on the field, in the locker room, all that stuff?
It's a way, you know, I remember when the Broncos had Tim Tebow, right? He won that playoff game against the Steelers and everybody was like, oh my God. And everybody knew he stunk, but they kept winning games. And John Elway was in a tight spot because he knew he couldn't play. But do you want to get rid of a quarterback that won a bunch of games for you, won a playoff game? He might have taken some heat in the locker room if he had done that. But what happened? Peyton Manning became available and he got out of that scot-free because nobody was going to say, You have to keep Tim Tebow over Peyton Manning. But if they had brought in somebody that wasn't Peyton Manning, he probably would have taken some heat. Well, if the 49ers had traded away Brandon Ayuk for a draft pick or whatever, maybe they take some heat in the locker room. If you trade Brandon Ayuk and you bring in Davante Adams, who I think we could agree at the very worst is as good as Brandon Ayuk, is probably still better than him at this point, you're not going to take heat in that locker room, I don't think.
Also, like, let's bring in the Brock Purdy situation. Brock Purdy is the reason that Brandon Ayuk's having a tough time getting the extension he wants, because the Niners don't exactly know how much they're going to have to give Brock. And I think they're trying to tell Brandon and their other star players, like, look, you're going to have to bear with us a little bit and maybe work with us a little bit, because we're entering new territory here. We have a franchise quarterback and we're going to have to pay him franchise quarterback money. And that's a fluid situation, what that even's going to be next year. So Brandon, $30 million a year, I know you could get that elsewhere, but if we were to give you that, we would be breaking up this team. And this team is so special. Aren't you proud to be here? Don't you want to be here? And he's like, nah, I don't want to take a backseat to that. I want my money. And if that means breaking up the team, who cares? Like, give me the ball more. Like, that's kind of how he's talking. And if that's option one, or option two is Davante Adams being like, yeah, I want to be here. Yeah, I'm bought in. Then, I mean, I'd go with Davante Adams, even though he's 32 in December. I don't care.
He's older.
Yeah.
Kenny, 757. Let's get to some of these super chats. As I just saw the headline of this video and said, hell yeah, in the Stone Cold Steve Austin voice. BA, there's no way you want to go back to Jimmy. Oh, never mind. He's benched. Well, he's not on the team anymore. Jimmy's on the Rams. But yeah, that would have been hilarious if Jimmy Garoppolo was still there and then Brandon Ayuk went to the same team again.
Yeah, go play with Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell, man. Have a good time.
Yeah. Tyler Caressley says, Rob, Grant, it feels uncomfortable to watch and listen to these press conferences, especially when they said they had their team last year.
Yeah.
They were smelling themselves last year. I don't know if you watched the receiver show, but after the Cowboy game, Nick Bosa, or during the Cowboy game, I think on the sideline was like, we've never had a team like this. And
telling you,
Yeah, I do.
I'm
think
telling they you, they won. Believed it the whole year that they this was the best team in the league and the best thing they had, and they might have been right, and they still didn't win. That's tough.
Chris Maldonado, YouTube channel member. Shout out to all our YouTube channel members. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all your support. I love you. It's less than $3 a month if you want to sign up. You get emojis, you get membership badges, you get priority comment response. Please do. Chris says, what's up, fellas? Sorry to interrupt. Quick question. How do you become part of the Gold Standard NC25 Dynasty League? I'm picking the game up on payday and wanted to be a part of it. Much love and respect. Here's the deal. I can't play the game until Friday because I'm not giving EA Sports any more money than I have to. I will start up a Dynasty League as soon as I can get into the game. If you want to join the Gold Standard Dynasty League, you have to sign up to be a YouTube channel member. I will put all the information on our community tab on the YouTube channel page. We can sign up. We can play. I'm going to buy a prize, some sort of autographed jersey, autographed helmet, something. I will have a prize for the winner, and then that's how you can sign up and play, and hopefully you can win the prize. Obviously, I will not be eligible for the prize when I kick everybody's ass in College Football 25. But that is the information for you there. City Burt, inside baseball question. Grant, for your reporting, who usually feeds you the trade rumors? Niners agent, other teams, etc.? Or you can't say? Yeah, Grant, just out all your sources right now.
I mean, I'm not the source trade rumor guy. I'm not even trying to play that game. I'm not in that league. But usually it would be, I mean, it could be anyone. It could be anyone. Like, I could say this. So 4 years ago, three, four years ago, I almost reported the George Kittle extension. I just got lucky. Someone just happened to tell me, like, I just got lucky. But it was like, sometimes, I think it might have been, can I say this? I think it was like Jordan Reed heard and told his friend who told someone on Twitter who told me. And like, I had some of the details wrong because it was telephone, but I had the day right. So sometimes people just hear and run their mouths to, you know what I mean? Like, that's the world. Or the agent has an agenda and wants to tell a certain person for a certain reason, who knows why.
And sources have agenda too. Like, people like when you or other people think they know things. It's like a way for them to show off.
For
right?
Sure.
So some people might be eager to talk to you to be like, hey, Grant, you know what I know? XYZ contract, yes. Whatever the case may be. So, and people love to talk. And don't buy into this whole 49ers don't leak crap, because they leak just as much as anybody else. Tyler says, Rob, doesn't this year feel a lot more uncomfortable even after the quarterback controversy last year with the Brandon Ayuk situation? I don't think it feels uncomfortable. I mean, this is not a great situation, but this is not like an unprecedented situation. It's a contract dispute.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hold on. This kind of feels worse than a contract dispute. Honestly, it feels more like the Trey Lance situation, kind of like, hey man, a little disrespectful. And maybe, and holding on to the guy at the same time, like, you know, it just feels a little weird. Brandon has clearly had his feelings hurt. I think Trey had his feelings hurt. And that would be sort of like, there are certain players who leave the 49ers and won't have good things to say about this organization. Brandon will be one. Trey's another. Jimmy Ward's another. He seems like it's a little bit of an alienation process. And it's like, why Brandon really though? Like, you can understand with Trey, I guess he didn't do anything wrong, but you had Purdy and you didn't need him anymore. But with Ayuk's, like, he's been really good. He's worked really hard. Why did you really need to work so hard this offseason to like take him down a peg? You could have just traded him. But it's all been about like sort of putting him in his place. Kind of strange.
Well, here's the other thing too. The 49ers are tough negotiators, but they never win the negotiation. They set the market with Fred Warner. They set the market with Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa got more money than anybody had ever gotten. They set the market with Kittle. They don't win these negotiations. So it's like you have this really hard negotiating stance. You anger and alienate the players potentially, and you still end up paying the money. So like, what is the benefit to you if you are the 49ers of handling your business this way? I don't understand it.
That's a great question. No one knows the answer, and it would be nice to ask John Lynch that question, because Kyle wouldn't answer it, but John likes to at least pretend that he will answer anything. So let's see how he handles that one.
I would love to have that question answered. And I don't know if John is going to speak at the beginning of training camp. I haven't seen any media schedule yet, but if he does, I would love that question asked. Like, John, you guys lose all these negotiations. So maybe switch it up a little bit. I don't know. Just saying, especially when down the line you have your quarterback negotiation coming up. The most important, biggest negotiation, the negotiation that is going to have a ripple effect on every other contract that you negotiate in the future. That is coming up. Maybe, I don't know, switch up your style before it gets to that.
I mean, look at the Eagles, respected front office, and the Dolphins, a successful team recently. They both extended their first-round pick wide receivers this offseason, Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle. These guys were both freshly eligible for extensions. They'd been drafted 3 years ago. The Niners could have done this with Ayuk last year. As soon as he's eligible, here's an extension. We love you so much. Let's do this before the market explodes, and they probably could have worked that out. But they do it the old way, which is let's take as long as possible. Why is that beneficial to you? Why have the Eagles decided to do it the exact opposite way, and you're sticking to this way like it's 2004? I don't understand that.
Well, and the Eagles also paid A.J. Brown this offseason. They paid both wide receivers this offseason.
So. Get in front of this market if you know where it's going. Even Trent Baalke figured that out.
Oh, wow.
Because, right, he just extended Trevor Lawrence this offseason. I mean, he could have waited. Niners would have waited.
I wouldn't give that money to Lawrence in the first place. But if you decide you want him, you might as well do it faster rather than later. Because
it's one or the other. You trade him or you extend him. You don't hem and haw and wait years like the Niners do and be like, you know what? We want to see what happens. Like, you understand how much money you're going to pay to see what happens?
Yeah, there's a cost to that. That is expensive too. Like, you might not want to pay all that money, but waiting costs you money. So either way, you're paying money.
Yeah.
Nick Ellert says, would you want Devontae Adams for the next 3 years or Debo? Isn't that the question?
No. No, it's not the question because you could cut Devontae Adams. He'll be 32. If he doesn't work out, you could just cut him. Or you could say, hey, man, you got no guaranteed money left. We'd like to extend your deal. Let's knock down those cap numbers for the next few years, make you a little bit more palatable so we can keep everyone around here and work out a deal for your mid-30s. I don't know. I think it'd be easier to work with Devontae Adams if he wants to be here in his 30s than Ayuk, who needs to get his big payday now, wherever. He's made it pretty clear, wherever he can get it.
In that situation, though, potentially, what you're talking about is a year from now, you make the trade, you cut Devontae Adams because you don't want to pay the contract, and then you have no BA, you have no Devontae Adams, you have an older-ish Debo Samuel and Ricky Pearsall, maybe. Now, if you won a Super Bowl this year, nobody's going to care. If you don't win a Super Bowl, then it's like, we still didn't win, and now you better hope Ricky Pearsall is really good because your wide receiver room is not what it once was.
Yeah. Yeah. So trade for Devontae, get rid of Ayuk, no offense, keep Debo and Ricky Pearsall and Juwan Jennings. That should be enough to win a Super Bowl. Maybe. Maybe.
Chris Maldonado says BA for DA. Yeah, I'm down.
It just rolls off the tongue.
It does. That was pretty smooth. Brother Bob says, if we had the best team, then why no Super Bowl again? Because
boy,
the best team doesn't always
win. Huh.
As we know.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Because coaching matters. And as good as Kyle Shanahan is, man, he just gets worked by Andy Reid in the second half. So did Nick Sirianni, though. Andy Reid's really good. Has he ever won Coach of the Year? I don't think he has.
Coach of the Year is such a ridiculous...
It's the worst award.
Andy Reid
should go to the best coach, not like the most surprising coach. Like, what are you talking about? Go to the best coach.
You know who has no shot to win Coach of the Year?
Kyle.
Andy
Reid. The two of them. The two best. The two guys who do the best. Yeah.
it's crazy that, that, but that's what we do. We decide what a team is going to be before the year, and then whoever exceeds those expectations the most wins coach of the year. He has won it. In 2002, Andy Reid did win coach of the year.
2002?
2002, yes.
I was in eighth grade.
Like, yeah.
Wow.
I don't even know how many coach of the year awards Bill Belichick has. Like, it's just a broken, it's a broken award. Unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, the MVP, you're going to give it to the most surprising player? Like, what are you talking about?
It's just weird.
Yeah.
Let's see. Nick Ellert says, people still think Kyle coached Christian McCaffrey to fumble and Ray Ray to not catch a punt. LOL. Brother Bob is Ted 49er. We don't need to, like, relitigate.
Yeah, we don't need to redo that. But there are certain things that Kyle is responsible for, those obviously not being two of them.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that says Kyle's not responsible for some of this is just not paying attention to what is happening. For sure.
Yeah. But yeah, turnovers are sort of out of his control.
It is interesting that all of this is happening, what, a week before camp opens. And by the way, the Ricky Pearsall non-injury list news yesterday was like, oh man, maybe Ayuk does have leverage. And how fast did the 49ers get out there that he's not seriously hurt? It was pretty quick.
Very quick. What was the Niners? There's a lot of drama this year. Ayuk is upset. And what's up with Ricky Pearsall? Last year, it was just like, really, it was bogus. It was the backup quarterback competition that didn't matter because Brock Purdy was coming back, really. I mean, it was interesting to watch what was happening to Trey Lance, obviously, because people were so invested for so long. But it was an off-season sideshow. And this year, it feels like the drama is too serious. Like, this is your number one wide receiver isn't here. Like, oof. It just feels way different than the Bosa. So Bosa held out last year, but it never felt like drama at all. It never felt like it was acrimonious between the suit sides. Maybe it was, but Bosa didn't make it public, even though he wasn't here. This feels way worse. Bosa never requested a trade.
Bosa's a different kind of player. First of all, he was never in anybody's doghouse. He was the golden child from the second he walked into the organization, correct, as he should have been, because he's awesome. The Bosas also understand the business of football very, very well. Joey Bosa held out. And his rookie deal, because he wanted certain language in there about the offset money. And I'll never forget this because we had him on the show on Pro Football Talk Live. And we did the interview with him. And afterwards, when the interview was over, as Joey was walking off the set, Florio said to him, hey, I just want you to know, I completely understand why you held out. You were right to hold out. Like, fans don't really understand it, but it was the right decision. And Joey Bosa looked at him in the face and said, the smart fans do. And it was like, just so clear that they get it. They understand how it works and they understand their own value. Nick Bosa always knew his own value. So he was like, I'm going to get the money. It might take a little time, but I'm going to get paid. He didn't take it personally. Brandon Ayuk is in his feelings right now.
Also, what people may not know about the Bosas, their dad was in the NFL too. He was a first round pick. He played for the Dolphins and he blew out his knee back before they had, you know, surgeries that could really fix that 100% of the time. So he didn't get the big paydays that his son did. And I think if you look at him as like kind of a helicopter parent, the way he's kind of groomed them to be exactly who he was or whatever, I think he's been very protective and focused on getting them paid and protecting them. And that's sort of my question with Nick now. It's like, okay, you and your family have won the game. You've accomplished your goals. And what's next for you? Because I'm looking at your brother. And I'm looking at a guy who's like a shell of what he was. When he was younger, man, that guy was a monster. Now it's like, he plays some of the time. He's pretty good. And last year, honestly, with you, Nick, you were pretty good. You were good. I mean, you had as many sacks as Leonard Floyd. Run defense left something to be desired. I mean, played 75% of the snaps, which is what you normally do. But I'm looking at Max Crosby. He got paid. He's playing 95% of the snaps. He's a freaking beast.
Monster, man.
Like, that should be you. It wasn't long ago that we thought you were better than Max Crosby. Now I can't say that you're better than Max Crosby. And I want to know, like, are you going the Joey Bosa route? But that's a whole tangent.
That is a little bit.
It's a big deal, though. I mean, Steve Wilkes got fired. The issue last year was Bosa, man. You're supposed to be freaking Superman. That's what they paid you to be. That's what you were for years. And now it's like, no, I'm just one of the best. It's like, ah, man, that's not what we thought we were getting.
He did not live up to the crazy standard that he set when he won Defensive Player of the Year. He still had a very good year, but we were, you know, like, we were really hoping for another Defensive Player of the Year season. I'm interested to see
That defense goes as he goes. That's the story with that defense. It's, I mean, Nick Sorensen matters to a degree, but it's like, Bosa, are you going to dominate like you have in the past or not?
Well, and this Ayuk situation has sort of taken the focus off of that, right? We're not really talking about Nick Sorensen being a first-time defensive coordinator, Brandon Staley being there, all that stuff. It's just gone now. Poof, it's off the radar because it's all Brandon Ayuk wants his money. He's going to get paid. But I do think that's a major issue for the 49ers. It's a major question going into the season. What is this defense going to look like?
Right, and it's like, why did the defense take a step back last year? Well, we've been sold on it was Steve Wilkes' fault. He just wasn't the right guy. And that's probably part of it. But like, isn't it also another big part when the defensive player of the year takes a significant step back and is merely a Pro Bowler? Like, I'm not saying he was bad last year, but like, what he was in 2022 was a whole lot better than what he was in 2023. And I think that disparity explains a lot of what happened to the Niners defense last year. I mean, your cheat code wasn't a cheat code anymore.
Well, and so much of their defensive line was kind of dependent on him. He was kind of like he's like the opposite of the Trent Williams. Like the rest of that defensive line, Armstead was very good, yes, but banged up frequently. Javon Hargrave, I thought, was okay coming over. But the edge opposite Bosa was what? I mean, they traded for Randy Gregory. They traded for Chase Young. It was the whole thing was kind of built on, well, if Bosa gets the pressure, then maybe Chase Young and those other guys can sort of reap the benefits of that. And when Bosa wasn't, again, still really good, but he was a step down from what he was, that does affect the rest of the team, especially a team that's set up to get pressure with four to help out the rest of the guys in coverage.
Yeah, and in fairness to Bosa, he was really their only pass rushing threat you had to worry about. So you slide your protection to him, you chip him. I mean, if there's one pass rushing threat you got to really worry about, he's a D end, you can neutralize him. Any team can. And that's why Leonard Floyd really matters this year. And not just Leonard Floyd, but like the whole idea of bringing simulated pressure and disguising where the fourth guy's coming from. And maybe it's a nickel or maybe it's a linebacker. Like that'll all help Nick Bosa, because what they were asking him to do last year was
just win every time.
Futile. Just beat two guys every time. Like, okay, thanks.
Just be awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, free up other guys so they can make plays. Like, well, but they're not.
He talked about how the holdout affected him. He talked about it with the team last year. Like, hey, I'm not quite in football shape, all of that stuff.
Yikes.
Have we passed that point with Brandon Ayuk already to where even if he does sign and come back to the 49ers, is he going to be not what he was because of the holdout? I don't know.
I mean, how often do you see wide receivers take a long time off, come back, pull their hamstring? I don't know. You got to be really careful with him. I mean, if he signs on September 6th, like Nick Bosa does, are you going to throw him out week one and play him his full workload and say, you know, hope this goes well? I don't know.
Well, and not only that, but let's say the hamstring is a little tight. I feel a little pull there. Is Brandon Ayuk going to be like, screw it, I'm playing through it? Or is he going to be like, whoa, I'm trying to get paid. I'm not going out there and risking tearing this thing and be out for 10 weeks. That's part of it, too.
That's a good question. Mitchell and Ness saying Adams on the wrong side of 30. No, thanks. Yeah, it's a fair point. It's a fair point. He's going to almost 32. Wide receivers don't age that gracefully. That being said, his game isn't super dependent on speed. He doesn't seem like he's slower than he used to be, and he doesn't seem like he's slower than Ayuk.
His route running is insane.
Just as good or better than Ayuk's. He's a little bit bigger than Ayuk. I mean, I think he's better than Ayuk. I don't know.
I think he is too. What about this proposed solution from Sour Death Sam?
I love Sour Death Sam. What's up?
If I'm the 49ers and John Lynch, here's what Sour Death Sam does. Number one, agree to trade Ayuk for Devontae Adams. Number two, put Danny Gray in the box. Brandon Ayuk came in and hope the Raiders don't notice when they open it. And number three, keep Ayuk and Adams on the team.
I think that'll work. If you search for Brandon Ayuk photos on Google Images, randomly a Danny Gray one pops up every time. And I don't understand why. Someone at ESPN is confused.
That's weird. I didn't know.
That's true.
Just put Danny Gray in the number 11.
No, put Brandon Ayuk and then search Google Images and just scroll down for like a minute and you'll find a Danny Gray one pop up. And it's like, excuse me. And you click on it, it takes you to Brandon Ayuk's player page on ESPN. I'll never forget it. See it all the time. I'll never forget. Because I'm constantly making like new thumbnails and stuff for Brandon Ayuk videos that we had to make all offseason. And it's like, oh, that's Danny Gray. What's going on? So maybe this could work.
How did anybody capture a picture of Danny Gray in a 49ers jersey?
It's like just like a little headshot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The headshot. There you go.
Yeah.
That is, I think that's a good solution for the 49ers.
I think that would work.
Just figure, you know, maybe you can trick him. Maybe it only works for a week, but hey, you get that extra week out of it, right?
Now, Brandon wouldn't be happy. Hey, Brandon, you're going to get 45 targets this season. Sorry.
Well, that's another thing, right? So let's say they even did trade for Devontae Adams. He's used to getting, I mean, a volume of targets that nobody on the 49ers has come close to approaching. Is he going to be cool with 100 targets, maybe on the year, 90 targets, something like that? Or is Kyle Shanahan going to say, all right, we got a stud, let's load him up and we'll change how we operate things? I have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to talk about Brock Purdy.
Did you listen to what I said there, were you? You were not listening to what I said. Admit it right now on the program.
Sorry, I got an email. It went ding and I read it and someone, sorry about that. I take it back.
Uh-huh.
My bad. I was unprofessional.
How dare you? What I said was, will Kyle Shanahan change the target share to give
Devontae? Oh, that's a great question. I'm sorry I missed that. No. Actually, hold on. I feel like Kyle can be kind of starstruck with certain players. And I think if they had Devontae Adams, Kyle would be like, oh, gee, shucks, you're wonderful. I think you're just the best. There's something going on. He's begrudging with Ayuk some way. It's like, look, man, yeah, you're good, but you're not Justin Jefferson. You're not Devontae Adams. To have the actual Devontae Adams, like when he got Christian McCaffrey, he was so starstruck. Like, man, can I give you 30 touches a game? Is that cool? Can you handle that? I would love to do that. And with Debo, sometimes he was like, how much can I get? I think he would not be begrudging with Devontae Adams. I think he would be like a dream come true to work with Devontae Adams, which probably would just piss off Brandon Ayuk even more.
Right. Well, with CMC, he had been with the team for 2 days and then they put him out there against the Chiefs and they were like, here you go. Here's a bunch of plays, which I loved. But yeah, there was no hesitancy with Kyle. Like it was, let's go.
Also, like, Brandon's trying to act like he can't get the targets because that's just the Niners system. But if the Niners brought in Devontae Adams, gave him a ton of targets, it would just be like, no, it was personal, Brandon. It was you. It was personal. Take it personal. Yeah.
It was you. Yeah.
First game. Remember Anquan Boldin's first game on the Niners? He had like 15 catches.
Did he? With the Niners? He did.
Remember that? His first game with the Niners against the Packers at home. Colin Kaepernick just wouldn't stop throwing him the ball. I think he had 15 catches or something like that. Yeah, like that, something like that. First game for Devontae Adams.
I remember his first game in the league. He had like 200 yards. It was insane.
That guy was so good.
Yeah, he was.
So slow and really had no route running ability. He would just knock into people and catch the ball. Was incredible.
They got him for a sixth round pick from the Ravens.
Yeah, John Harbaugh just gave him to his brother. Like, look, we can't sign this guy, so I want you to have him.
And we've already won a Super Bowl. So
yes, please. I'm so sorry that I beat you like that, but here's Anquan.
Before we wrap up, I want to get to this because you mentioned it to me before the show, and I did not even realize this was a thing, but you pointed it out, and it is really, really weird. So tell people what it is, what you found, and we can talk about why it's weird.
Okay, so I was reading ESPN. Nick Wagner covers the team for ESPN, does a great job. He wrote a whole article like, what does it mean now with Brandon Ayuk and what's going on? At the very end, he's like, well, you know, remember, the whole reason that the Niners are having a tough time is they got to save money because Brock Purdy's going to be the priority next year when he gets an extension. And he writes, quote, if Purdy can post another season similar to that or even better, he's poised to cash in on a contract that should pay him more than $45 million per season. Well, yeah. I mean, that's like saying that if Brandon Ayuk plays really well again this year, he's poised to get a contract that'll pay him more than $15 million per season next year. Like, well, yeah, we know that the quarterback market surpassed $45 million per season years ago. But what do the Niners know that? Because they sort of sound like to make their own markets at certain positions and justify it by saying, well, you know, it's we can replace you and we got the coach and we got the team. I wonder what the Niners are really going to offer Brock Purdy next year. Because they could offer him 45, 50, 55 and say, that's generous, even if that's not where the rest of the market is. Something to monitor.
Yeah, the contract should pay him more than $45 million this season. The contract definitely will pay him more than $45 million. Just for reference, Daniel Jones makes $40 million a year. Dak Prescott makes $40 million a year right now, and the big talk is how he's going to get potentially $60 million a year. Josh Allen makes $43 million. Mahomes makes $45 million. Kirk Cousins makes $45. He's going to get way. There is no way in hell Brock Purdy is signing a contract for $45, $46 million. If they do, then the 49ers have worked some sort of voodoo magic.
I just think it'd be kind of interesting. So the Niners offer what they think is fair to Brandon Ayuk, $25, $26 million a year. And here we are. What if they offer Brock $45 million next year? Or 47 to be generous. And Brock's like, hold on, you want me to take way below market value? You're like, yeah, it's a really generous offer. We have this great team that we want to keep it together, but like, what's wrong with 45 million? You're going to complain about that publicly? That's a lot of money. He's like, yeah, but Tua just signed for 65. Like, why should I take less than Tua? Isn't that what we're seeing right now with Brandon? Brock, you should think about this right now.
I mean, the Brock Purdy contract talks are going to be really interesting, right? Because on the one hand, he's going to be entitled to a huge freaking deal because, I mean, assuming he puts up a year similar to what he did last year, that's a very good season. We know what the market for quarterbacks is. But is he going to say, you know what? I've been making no money. So you throw $45 million in front of me. That's a hard thing to turn to. Like, does that factor in or does his agent just say, I know it's a lot of money. You got to trust me. I can get you way more than that. I don't know. Because at some point, the preferences of the player do take precedence. The agent works for the player. If the player said, for whatever reason, just do the deal. I don't want to have this on my plate anymore. The agent would have to take it. Where Brock falls on that scale, I have no idea.
I just think it's funny. Like, we know about the Niners and how they do business in these negotiations. They play dirty, right? Like, with Debo, what do they use against him? You play running back. You play running as opposed to early in the season. It's like, man, would you please play running back for us? Oh my God, your versatility is so incredible. Then it was time to negotiate. Well, you know, that's not playing wide receiver and it's actually going to shorten your career. And then with Ayuk, I mean, what did they use against him? Target share. When they sold him on that, like, hey man, you know, we're a team and we got to spread the ball around and run the ball. And we're kind of a slow pace on offense. Then they turn around and like, well, you didn't really have the raw numbers now, did you? With Brock, what are they going to do? Like, for years, they've been pumping him up like, hey, man, don't listen to the Cam Newtons of the world. You're not a game manager. You're not a system quarterback. You're more than that. But at the negotiation table, they're going to be like, well, you got the best supporting cast. You got Kyle Shanahan. I mean, they're going to throw that in his face and come in a little low. And it's like, well, how's Brock going to take that? Everyone thinks Brock's this little choir boy. And he doesn't really care about money. Like, he's also very proud and competitive. And if the Niners insult him, like they've insulted Brandon Ayuk for whatever reason, boy, that's going to be an interesting choice. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Niners next year might be a good time for them to change how they do business.
Will they do that though? Because remember, when the 49ers signed Jimmy Garoppolo, they agreed to that deal on February 8th, before the new league year even began. After five starts, the 49ers signed. It was like lightning speed. Before anybody could even talk about what the 49ers were going to do with Jimmy Garoppolo, he had a new deal. So it'll be very interesting to see if they do that with Brock Purdy.
Now, that's because he was about to hit unrestricted free agency.
But they
with Brock, well, we have you under contract. I mean, all the things we hear from Lombardi, right? Well, the Niners technically have all the leverage. They could tag him two times. That all applies to Brock.
Yep.
Will people say it, though? It's easy to say it for the disgruntled wide receiver, but what about the Christ child himself? The Christ child. Jesus Christ reincarnated. Are you going to say that then next year? I'd love to hear it.
Well, especially if, let's say, Brock has a little bit of a down year, right? Maybe the year is not as good as last year. Then it's like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, I don't know, but I do think that other players on the 49ers would be watching that and saying, they hemmed and hawed with my deal. They threw everything in my face. Now, all of a sudden, they signed this guy to a lightning fast deal. If it happens that way, I don't know if it will or not.
Yeah, you're kind of in a tough spot. Like, you almost have to break Brock's chops because that's how you do business. And other players might be like, why do you get special treatment?
Well, think about this, too. John Lynch and Brandon Ayuk's agent are like best friends, and they're still doing this to Brandon Ayuk. So
yeah, it's quite weird. That is quite weird.
The contract stuff with the 49ers, it is going to be interesting to see what happens with Ayuk.
So much urgency to win the Super Bowl this year because the math trying to figure out how to keep this team together isn't really mathing anymore.
And it's just so, like, if they win a Super Bowl, whatever they do going forward, like, it'll matter, of course, but people are going to give them a lot of latitude, right? If they have to get rid of some pieces, people are going to be like, hey, they won the Super Bowl. Eventually, you had to tear it down, like the Rams did. People are like, all right, whatever. But if you don't win a Super Bowl, then it's just even more. Oh, man, 2024 is shaping up. It's going to be a year.
Hey, Brock, you just won the MVP and the Super Bowl. We're really proud of you. Here's $45 million per season. Man, I can't wait. Boy, this guy is so uppity. I mean, we take him with the last pick. We make all his dreams come true. Put a great team around him, and now he thinks he's the star? Wow. Can't wait for that drama, but we do have a whole football season to go through before then, which should be interesting in and of itself.
I feel like we don't do that with white players. We never accuse white players of being greedy. But I've
I wasn't going to say it explicitly. I was just going to sort of imply it and let the viewer sort of understand that's where I was going. But yeah.
I literally responded to a YouTube comment this morning. Oh, Brandon Ayuk is he's greedy. His culture tells
disgruntled.
Him about money. Like, no, man. Everybody wants the most money possible. And I said it with other negotiations, and I'm saying it with this one. Nobody's doing anything wrong. 49ers are trying to get him for as little as possible and using all the tools at their disposal to do that. Brandon Ayuk wants as much as possible. He's using all the tools at his disposal to do that.
I will say that Brandon's doing something wrong insofar. I like using that term. I just feel like he's not doing a good job of, like, he's trying to garner public sympathy. I don't think he is.
No,
so
he's not.
If that's his goal, I think he's, like, not getting it done. He's trying hard. I don't think he's really doing it. And maybe there's nothing he can do at this point, because when a team offers you 26 and you want 30, I think you got to kind of just be quiet and let it play out. Because I think that's the issue with Bosa, right? He wanted 35 or whatever, 34, and the Niners probably offered him 30, and they had to work it out. And he didn't go on podcasts like playing the victim. No one's going to feel bad for you. He just waited. I think this was Brandon's ultimately going to do.
I think that the Niners have totally run circles around him from fan support perspective. I'll never forget the conversation Dez Bryant had with Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones loved to try to talk to players directly to get them to agree to bad deals. And they were up in the suite. It was just them two. And Dez has told this story. And Jerry's trying to get him to agree. And Dez is like, Jerry, look out on that field. What would happen to you if you tried to cover me on that field? And Jerry's like, well, you would destroy me. And Dez is like, exactly. So why am I going to talk contracts with you when this is your area and you would destroy me? I'm not going to do that. And it was smart by Dez Bryant to do that. The 49ers are professional negotiators.
He's trying to talk to him about money without his agent there? That's weird.
Jerry Jones does that all the time. Oh, yeah. He loves that.
It's funny how you think about it, these athletes are really not old. They're in their early to mid-20s, especially when it's time to get paid. And sometimes they can be a little bit even more mature than that because they've been almost, you know, coddled since they were in middle school as these people who are going to make everyone money. And man, there's a lot of coaches and older people just taking advantage. I mean, manipulating and taking advantage of an impressionable 25-year-old who doesn't quite know how the world works yet. It's rough.
And at that point in time, had never seen the amount of money in their life that they were talking about. Like, Jerry Jones is offering Dez Bryant to that point more money than he's ever seen in his life. Now, it's a little different now with the NIL money and college sports, but it's, you know, it's one thing for someone to say, hey, do you want $100,000? It's another thing when you see $100,000 on the table across from you. That's a different thing.
It's like you're obviously trying to take it. Hey, man, this guy's 25. He's never seen money like this. Why don't I just bring him into this room, open this briefcase, dazzle him a little bit, and we'll get a big time discount. I mean, that's sort of what you're trying to do, which is not right.
No,
it's not good business
of Jerry Jones to do that. No. But he did it, unfortunately.
And I don't think Brock's going to fall for the okie doke on that one. I think he's, man. I mean, if his agent doesn't push for him to get all the money he can, there's going to be 80 million agents calling Brock being like, hey, I could do a lot better.
They probably already have tried to, you know, make those calls, you know, the sneaky, slimy little agent world.
Quick prediction. Do you think the Niners follow their same playbook with Brock that they've done with Brandon and everyone and really, or do you think they say, hey, Brock, we love you so much, man. You wouldn't name your price.
Assuming Brock is one healthy this year and plays similar to what he played last year. Like if he goes in the tank, then maybe all bets are off. But assuming he plays in a similar fashion, I think it's wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Done deal.
Why?
because they love him. Kyle.
Who's they?
Oh, Kyle.
I disagree with you there. I think Jed loves him, but I think Kyle is always more down on his quarterbacks than people realize. And when Chris Sims ranked him 17th in the league, that set off alarm bells for me, thinking I wouldn't be surprised if Kyle is sort of similar in terms of his opinion. So Kyle says all the right things. He's the real deal. Love him. Got our guy. But when it's time to pay him $65 million a year, I wonder if privately he'll be like, oh, we don't really need to do that. Because I wouldn't be surprised if he's the one in the background being like, we don't need to pay Brendan. We don't. I don't think we need to.
Oh, I think he's definitely saying that.
So
I think so. Yeah. But I don't know if he feels.
But we'll see. Thank you for making your prediction. I appreciate that. We'll see what happens.
Yes. Swan Song says Kyle loves Kyle. I love me some meat.
Yeah, he does.
49er.
He does.
Back in the day. All right. That's going to do it for this edition of the show. Please rate, review, and follow the Gold Standard Podcast Network wherever you get your audio podcasts. Like and subscribe to the YouTube channel, the Gold Standard 49ers Network YouTube channel, and to Grant Cohn's YouTube channel as well, where we are dual streaming. I'm going to attempt to play the little close that we have, but considering it's screwed up to start the show, I have no idea how this is going to end, Grant.
I think it's going to end great, though. Someone said I'm a liar, but I was reading that. But that's okay. Let's end. Roll credits.
Oh, fine. All right. Let's see.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.